Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. For our Old Testament lesson today, it shows us very clearly what it means to rely on God. And I actually want to backtrack a little bit before our text. Because the fact is that Elijah is a man of God. Elijah has been chosen by God to be his prophet, to be his mouthpiece, to proclaim the word of the Lord. And it didn't win him very many friends. In fact, the king despised him, because the king despised the Lord. And to punish the king and the people who had turned away from the one true God and chased after the Baals of this world, God refused to send the rain. He shut up the heavens and caused a drought, because that's what God can do. God chooses when to send the rain and when to withhold it. And sometimes he does that as a punishment. We see him withholding the rain here. We see him opening the floodgates to condemn the unbelieving world at the time of Noah. God is still in full control of the weather. He created it. He sends it, and he asks that you, his children, rely on him. And that's exactly what Elijah had to do. Because there was a drought, it was hard to find water to drink and food to eat. And so God sent Elijah to the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And there, the scriptures tell us, ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. So God provided Elijah with everything that he needed because Elijah was not welcome in the king's presence. But yet God provided. He says, proclaim my word, whether people like it or like it not, and I will continue to provide for you. Elijah trusted in God. But the drought gets worse. And so the verse right before our text for today says, and it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Elijah had trusted in God, and God brought him to this brook. God sent the ravens to bring food for him. But now the brook was dried up. What was he to do? But then we have our text. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup, that I may drink. God had told Elijah that he would get up and go, and that there would be a widow there to provide for him. Elijah believed God and came to where God told him to go, and there is the widow. But the widow responds. As she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And she says, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, and a little oil in a jar, and see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. God had raised Elijah up to proclaim his word. God provided for Elijah by a brook that dried up, and God sent him to a widow who now claims she has no food. In fact, she is only out there to gather the last sticks that she'll need to prepare the last meal for her and her son so that they can eat it and then die because there is no food left. And yet Elijah still believes. Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. This widow has a decision to make. Will she trust that this man is truly sent to her by God, or will she simply make what's left to die? And she trusts in God's word. She trusts the word that the prophet proclaimed to her. And in the word of the Lord, miracles take place. The very word that proclaimed, "Let there be light," declares that there will be flour, declares that there will be oil. The very word by which all things of creation were made is proclaimed over bread and wine, that we receive the true body and blood of Jesus Christ today. It's his word that has power. It's his word that has authority. It's his word which does exactly what he says it does. And so she trusts. She goes in and does exactly as Elijah says, and she brings it to him. And the miracle happens. The flour and the oil are not gone. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Now, the very next verses are our Old Testament for next week, so I don't want to give that away, but I do want to fast forward to chapter 18. Where we see the importance of trusting in the true God. You see, there are so many false gods out there. Mammon, the love and desire of money and wealth, is the biggest. But the concept here is that you cannot worship false gods because they can't do anything. They are idle idols. They are worthless. Elijah proclaimed the word of God, and it made even the king despise him for it. God chose to withhold the rain to punish the people who were supposed to call upon his name, even though they had hired priest after priest after priest to make sacrifices to Baal, the false god of the land. So what does Elijah do? He says, let's test this theory. I want you to gather all the prophets of Baal, and I myself will come. Baal's prophets should put together an altar where they will offer a burnt sacrifice to their god, to Baal. And I will set up my own altar to the Lord, Yahweh, the true God. And we will see what happens. And so he says, tell you what, prophets of Baal, you guys go ahead and you go first. And so they prayed, and they prayed, and they cried out, and they actually cut themselves to draw blood, to sacrifice their own blood, calling upon the name of Baal. And yet nothing happens. Elijah mocks them. Perhaps he's sleeping. Perhaps he's on vacation. Perhaps he's indisposed. And so Elijah then has them pour tons of water all over his sacrifice. In the middle of a drought, he has them pour water, completely and utterly consuming water over this sacrifice. And he calls on the name of Yahweh, the Lord, the great I Am. And an all-consuming fire comes down, completely consuming the sacrifice, the altar, and even licking up all of the water that was in the moat. And the people cried out. They cried out, Yahweh is God. And that's exactly what the name Elijah means. His name means exactly what God sent him, the purpose that he sent him to do. That his people would return to him and cry out once again, Yahweh, the Lord, the great I Am, he is God. That should be our confession too. To trust in him completely. In the midst of a drought, they poured out water, and God consumed it. And then he sent the rain. The people had returned to him once again. The prophets of Baal were now gone. How are we to trust in him? We take a look at our gospel lesson and we see once again those words that I already proclaimed. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Jesus is very clear here that you are not to be anxious, that you are not to be worried about what you will receive. For your Lord provides you with everything that you need to support this body and life. Too often we can take money and hoard it. Too often we can take money and say, as long as I can store up enough, then I'll be okay. As though we don't actually trust God. We do that in our own lives and sadly sometimes even in our churches. But the fact is that we do have to trust God. We do actually have to believe that he will provide our church, us as individuals, with everything that we need. This church exists to proclaim the word of God and to administer the sacraments. That is why we are here. That is why God has placed St. Peter's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Waterford, Wisconsin, to proclaim his word, to preach his word, and to administer his sacraments. That people would be received through waters of baptism. That people would hear that their sins are forgiven. And that people might receive the body and blood of Jesus given and shed for the forgiveness of their sins. That is why we exist. Every other thing is secondary. And so we need to trust. We need to believe. Yes, the people of the church need to tithe. That is an important part of it. We need to trust that everything that I have comes from him, therefore I will return it to him that it might be used for the extension of his kingdom. And then it's the church's responsibility to do exactly that. The idol of money is a strong one, but we need to trust God. We need to return to him. Your God loves you so much. He provides you with all of these things, with the clothes that you're wearing, with the people that you came to church with today, with the people that you're going to see later. And most especially, he provided you with the sacrifice of his son. For he sent his son Jesus to die in your stead. And honestly, if God has secured you in eternal life, your clothing, your shoes, your house, and your money, really are secondary, aren't they? Because the truth is that we live because he has given us eternal life. That is why we exist, to sing his praises, to follow him, to help one another, to be his family. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Do not be anxious. Do not worry. Trust the Lord. The church sings, what God ordains is always good. This truth remains unshaken. Though sorrow, need, or death be mine, I shall not be forsaken. I fear no harm, for with his arm he shall embrace and shield me. So to my God I yield me. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.